This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Hey, it's great you made it. Come in and sit a spell.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman in Tower. Tonight on the show, from the Councils of Nicaea in 325 to Chalcedon 451 AD, the aspect of this mystery has been discussed and studied, a secret revealed. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the fourth day of August 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I'm Tower. This is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Here are some articles on our website for recommended reading. Prophecy's Long Shadow is a shadow cast over the entire world, and prophecy is the bearer of change for a world that is destined to be in the throes of chaos. But the earth is subject to our great God and Savior, to whom the ends are written. Anticipation and prayer preparedness mark Eclipse 2017 event. The great summer eclipse of 2017 is a natural event with supernatural connections with a prophetic message that will mark the day and the hour of the eclipse. Whose word is it? Thy word is truth? Whose word is it you have? Heaven sent or hell bound? To check out those articles and read further, go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting at verse 23 through chapter 7, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 26, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 6, verses 1 through 71. Follow Warn Radio and The Watchman to get in on the latest prophecy, world events, biblical teachings, and preparation for what is coming. You can follow The Watchman at hashtag WatchmanIS216 or hashtag WGS underscore Watchman, and follow Warn Radio at hashtag Warn Radio. You can find us on Facebook, Google Plus, LinkedIn, Vimeo, Blog Talk, and more. Get the latest updates on the WIBR Warn Radio events, shows, and more. Tonight on the show, No Greater Love, Part 1, Word Incarnate. When you discuss no greater love, we find that our Lord God and Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, Yeshua, Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. It is this sending of his Son and the fact that he, the Logos, E-N, Theos, was God and came from God, but in fact became flesh. Now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here on a Friday night with everybody.
Yep, we're in August now.
Yes, we are. It's got here fast, for sure.
4 days.
Yep.
It's hard to believe.
Oh, I know.
You know, and I've seen an ad coming out of Israel for Rosh Hashanah already.
Really? Wow.
The beginning of the new year, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little early, but it is August.
I know.
Yeah. hard to believe.
Yes, it is.
Seems like I waited forever for it to get spring.
Yeah, now the summer is almost over. That's, like, not a good thing. Not a good thing. Then we'll have another winter, and then we'll have another spring, and then another summer, and then the Lord will come sometime in the future.
Never ending.
Nope. So what's going on?
Well, you know, like I was telling you earlier, Maxine Waters said after we get done with Trump, we're going to impeach Vice President Putin. I think she's got water on the brain along with Russia on the brain, and mix that up with a little bit of Trump. If her hatred wasn't so bad, she just literally hates Trump.
That's too bad. She's pretty wicked, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you know, she may not be wicked, but she sure seems that way. And she has the snarliest face I've ever seen in any of the news stories. Another one is Rosie O'Donnell, man. The pictures they put up of her sometimes, she just looks like an old witch. And so does Maxine Waters, you know. And Maxine Waters, you know, she gets her lips a-moving, and she gets furious, and her hair's a-moving, and her hands are, you know, she's just a-screaming.
Like she's crazy.
Well, she is possessed. She's possessed with the demonic hatred of Donald Trump. I mean, it's way beyond here just political opposition.
Yeah, that's unbelievable that people can be so hateful like that. You know, it's just too bad.
Yep. So I don't know. You know, the thing about Trump, he said he was going to drain the swamp. He probably shouldn't have told him ahead of time.
Then he called it the sewer. He was going to drain the sewer.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, that's why people voted for him. But when you let your enemy know you're going to drain the swamp and they're going to be, it's like backing an animal into a corner. They're going to fight back, and that's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, so the situation in D.C. is, it is the worst I've ever seen as far as I'm concerned. But But there are some positives. Trump has managed to sign a lot of stuff, more than any other president for this term, according to the stuff coming out. You know, I mean, how am I to know? I didn't stand over him and count. That's just what they say. They also were saying that almost all of Obama's stuff that he was putting, all the little secret things that he snuck in, all that's been unsigned now.
Good. Thank God.
And, of course, as you and I have been discussing, we discussed it yesterday, the Obamacare is a mess. And, of course, this makes a difference. And I didn't know this, and Tower didn't know this, at least I don't think she did. We didn't know it until today when our company told us, or her company told her, that, you know, there are a lot of companies out there that have their own private, their own personal health care. And it's not an Obamacare.
Yeah, and these rates aren't, that's supposed to go up 48% for the people in Wyoming on Obamacare.
Yeah, Obamacare. That's those people on Obamacare. Well, see, the thing of it is, there's a whole pile of them that don't pay anyway. So
I don't know. It's not a good thing.
Well, no, it's not a good thing. I don't know what they're going to do. I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, with the Republicans and Democrats so at odds, you know, they need to put this, you know,
it's like the civil war in Washington, D.C.
Well, it is a civil war in Washington. You know, and the thing of it is that ain't good for the country.
Nope.
You know, their self-interest and warring and refusal to cooperate only makes matters worse, because they don't want him to get anything done, including some of the Republicans. You know, the Republicans are as globalist as the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few real, true people who believe in the Constitution anymore in our government. And matter of fact, some of the people that Trump even appointed, the news came out, there was a number of places that were covering it, WorldNet, Daily, Breitbart, and InfoWars were all talking about how that some of these people Trump had appointed were firing pro-patriot, you know, constitutional people, getting rid of them, including the highfalutin generals that Trump appointed. So
they were firing them?
Yeah, got rid of them.
How did they get away with that?
Because they're the boss, I guess, and that's the government.
Well, they now, need to be getting, gotten rid
now
of.
The general that's taken over as chief of staff, they're Kelly? Talking about doing a lie detector test for everybody in the White House. He's laid down a whole bunch of rules. He's stopped people from loitering around in the halls. He told them you can't just stand around outside president's office and wait to see him. He established rules. He laid things down. So now it's pretty much one of those things that...
Well, good for him.
Yeah. I seen one post where someone said they'd give him 4 months because Trump likes to talk to people. And, you know, unfortunately for Trump, you know, he needs to learn to keep his mouth shut.
Good luck with that.
You know, I've known people that like to talk, and they just talk. And the thing of it is, about people like that, they talk. They'll say anything just to keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
Because they like to talk. And this ain't good if you're a president and have everybody hating you. You need to keep your mouth shut. You have to watch what you're doing. But that's a whole other thing. You know, all I know is that you don't really have anybody up in D.C. that really cares. You know, I think Trump in his own way, you know, really does want to make America great. But there are so many people that is fighting him. We'll just have to see how it works out.
They don't want America great again.
Well, you know, in their mind, this goes back to the globalist ideal. The globalist ideal is that everybody's together. One world government, one world everything. There's no individual nationality. Well, see, I don't want to be a European, belonging to the European whatever. I'm not interested in being a stooge of the UN. I don't care about their globalist policies. I don't like the modern America with all its baloney they're doing. And I don't care for the immoral stuff that's going on. And I don't care for a lot of the stuff that's going on. And I, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the America that we knew, it's dead and gone anyway. But that doesn't mean, you know, I have to enjoy what I see, and I don't. I don't like what I see, I don't enjoy what I see, and that's not even getting to the judgment that's going to come. Because there is going to come judgment. This nation is going to be divided physically. There will be war here, and there will be foreign troops here, and there will be nukes going off, and there will be a lot of other things that will absolutely, positively happen to this country.
Unfortunately.
And because we threw out the Lord God, and most of our churches are backslidden, and people forgot to preach the gospel. Nobody wants to preach holiness anymore. You know, I mean, we've had generation upon generation that was raised on lies and filth and immoral ways. And so now we've got a bunch of different kinds of gods here. We've got all kinds of immorality, filth, sewage, and gutter thinking. Kids that are absolutely lawless. You've got people up in Congress and in our government that act like nothing but a bunch of fools.
Oh yeah, isn't that the truth?
And you know, And there's good people up there and there's bad people, but there's also some wicked, wicked people in D.C. and your government people. And I mean people that you don't ever see. They're behind the woodwork. They are wicked as wicked can be. They're in your armed forces. Yes. God help us.
Amen.
He ain't going to save America, folks. He's going to take care of his people. So you better try to figure out who you're going to serve. Because God is not going to make any apologies for destroying the great whore America. But make no mistake, if you think that he's going to allow ISIS and all the rest of these moronic Muslims to rule the world and have an endless heyday, you got another thing coming. Now, they're going to play an important part, you know, they already have in the end of days, but they're going to pay for what they've done, and they will reap for what they're doing, and they're not going to wind up in their nice little niche of whores and harlots from heaven and heavenly wine. So make no mistake about it. You're going to reap what you're going to sow. And that includes the nations. That includes all those nations. And that even includes Israel. Because Israel needs to repent. She has a lot of immorality going on. We're in the end of days when God is going to round up the nations. And he's going to do some highfalutin spanking. And he's going to show you the sovereignty and the nature of this God in a righteous manner. And you ain't going to like it. But I would love nothing better for this country to repent or for this thing to turn around.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I can go get me a cabin by a mountain, retire, fish, have my garden, stay in the mountains. Yeah.
Teach the word of God.
Yeah.
Never retire from that.
But you see, there is that thing a-coming. And it's coming. It's at the door. But your version of the door and God's version of the door were probably two different time frames.
Yeah. Well, if it knocks, I'm not going to open it.
No. It'll come soon enough. So at any rate, if you are hearing us on Spreaker, be sure to get our Remnant Battle Lines Warn Radio app. It's an Android app, and you can go over to Google Play and you can search for it, Remnant Battle Lines, or you can just go to our website at warn-usa.com. And on the front page, you will see a picture of the app and a link. Just click on the little picture, and that'll take you right to it. And be sure to download the app. Now, we also have our stream, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week stream, that we do. And it has all of our teachings, all of the news, and it's going all the time. It has different stuff every day. And you can just sit there and listen to it. And so you'll find those links right there on the websites. We have two players, one for Spreaker and one for the stream. Of course, we have all of our shows on our websites. We also have videos of every show that we do. And we have an extensive group of people on Vimeo that follow us and watch it. And we're very appreciative to all those on Vimeo. And we welcome those who hear us on Spreaker as well. Matter of fact, we could actually, I have to do a little adjustment, but I could actually be streaming through Spreaker Studio as well.
Well, that's interesting.
And we're also automatically on SoundCloud, and we're on YouTube, we're on Google Plus, we're on Facebook, plus two different pages there. We've got three Twitter accounts. We're on Tumblr. let's see, I'm sure I'm forgetting something. I've got another, I think it's PodPress that we have that works with WordPress, and they have a whole extensive network that they send it out to. So we have this going out in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Every week,
thank
yeah.
God.
Yeah, we do. And plus people come to our websites because we have lots of in-depth articles, especially on this, all the prophecy and the stuff having to do with this eclipse that's going to happen and the Revelation 12 thing and a lot of other stuff. So I do have some stuff that you need to read, and we try to tell you about all these. Go to the websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And you'll find everything there. And people have been trafficking, you know, coming over to our websites, and you know we've got a lot of people that that find us. But you know, of course, there's a lot of people that don't know anything about us.
But they will.
Well, we've been doing this for 20 years, but that's not the beginning for Tower and I. We go clear all the way back into the mid-70s. And then we went to Bible school. So make no mistake, we've been around this Christian environment for a lot of years. And so at any rate, but in this rate, in this latest end-time ministry as a watchman, it's going in its 20th year. And actually, we could say that it goes further back than that, but for this end time, that's good enough.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Tower and I have resolved, haven't we, Tower, to have tunnel vision to the Lord?
Yes. Not to get caught up in this mess.
No. We're not going to let it govern our happiness. We trust in the Lord. And, you know, make no mistake. We don't want this nation to fall. But I got news for you. It has nothing to do with us. We don't have any word on it. I preach the word. And the Lord gives me a message, and I preach it or I write it. And that's his word, not mine. And I stand by that. He doesn't ask me what I think. And I'm on a need-to-know basis.
Yeah.
And I don't throw out tons of prophecy every week. I write about prophecy. I talk about prophecy. I tell you what the Lord said regarding prophecy. And sometimes, if there's a special message, I will give it. But we need to stop following all the fodder and start following the Father. So you can say it like this. I follow the Father, not the fodder.
There you go. Amen.
See, there's a lot of fodder out there, useless trash, that disguises itself as Christian information. But you need to follow the Father through the Son. And if you don't have the Son, there's no way you're going to get to the Father. For God so loved the world that he did give his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him would not perish. And of course, further it says in John 3 that he did not send his Son, you know, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But if you continue to go in that, he talks about the world being condemned because they won't believe. They won't come to the light because they love darkness more than light. And that's where we're at today. This gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. We are here for a witness. We're not here to win the world. We're here for a witness, to give testimony, to preach the word, to tell the truth. And in the world, when they stand before the Lord, he'll be able to say, this gospel was preached in all the world for a witness and a testimony to everyone on planet Earth. You are without excuse.
That's right.
And I can tell you, to whom much is given, much is required. And America's been given a lot. The UK's been given a lot. Europe's been given a lot. So make no mistake, to whom much is given, much is required. And the churches for many, many years in Europe and the UK have been backsliding. You can say it like this, woe unto thee, O harlot. For thou hast had many lovers, and even the ones you have now have forsaken thee. For the Lord thy God has called thee and nourished thee, but yet you refused. So now I will choose your delusions and bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer. So welcome to the end of days, folks. I suggest you get close to the Lord and let him deliver you and help you and provide for you. Don't get mad. Just follow the Father through the Son.
That's the only way.
Yep. Well, at any rate, we're going to be talking about love tonight. I got a real nice graphic that I made on this study. Too bad y'all can't see it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. So I'm going to do this, Tower.
Okay,
do you have anything to say or anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Now this, we're going to be talking about a phrase, the Word became flesh. I got into this and personal words of faith and direction from the apostles concerning our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, given specifically to the brethren. Now, some of this I'm reading. This isn't preaching. This is reading. Because this is some of the research I wanted you to know as background. Most Protestants also agree that the teachings regarding the Trinity. Now, I don't push the Trinity. I mean, you can count them up, and there's three of them. And, you know, it's not that I don't believe in the Trinity. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture teaches us. But regarding the Trinity and the Incarnation, as defined at Nicaea 325 and Chalcedon in 451. And of course, those are orthodox doctrines. There's a number of orthodox standard doctrines, soteriology or salvation, you know. The council, when they came together, there was Coptic Orthodox, Ethiopian Orthodox, Eritrean Orthodox, Syriac, you know, the Apostolic. There was, of course, the Catholic Church. I mean, there was a lot of different things going on. There are a number of them that teach the Lord Jesus Christ is God, the incarnate Word. He possesses the perfect Godhood and perfect manhood. He is fully divine nature. His fully divine nature is united with his fully human nature, yet without mixing, blending, or alteration. And so when we say incarnate, and that's really what we're talking about. The Word became flesh. The Word did become flesh. And of course, the incarnate, when we say incarnation, is the concept of the eternal Word of God, the Logos, who had become flesh. And he became flesh for the salvation of the human race. And, you know, the thing of it is that when you get right down to it, when they get into discussing the incarnation, the incarnation just does not limit itself to him being in the womb of the Virgin Mary, or if, you know, Christmas. Now, of course, if you get into the Messianic and you understand that December 25th wasn't exactly the correct date, but that's what the church has always celebrated. They created their own holidays like Easter and got rid of the original feast that the apostles were doing. And mainly a lot of that came about because of the persecution from the Jews, who got tired of the Gentiles who became Christians adopting into their Protestant new religion following Jesus the feasts. So over the course of time, there was a lot of persecution, a lot of division, and a lot of hatred between the two groups. So by the time you get down the road a bit in Christianity, they totally separate and actually had councils and forbade Christians to do anything with the feasts whatsoever. And so when we talk about incarnation, we talk about not only him being born of a virgin, but it encompasses his whole life, teaching, suffering, and glorification. It has to do with the cross. And it goes from his birth all the way to the cross, while he's in the tomb, and when he is resurrected, and what he tells the apostles. He was seen by many infallible, through many infallible proofs, even 500 people at once. And he chose to reveal himself. He left instructions for the church, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father and is coming again. So when we talk about incarnation, it involves a lot. But he was always the Word. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, John goes on to write, he went to his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. By the time you get to John 3, he's talking to Nicodemus there, and he tells him he must be born again of the Spirit. And so there's a lot of things encompassing when we talk about incarnate. And the Word of God, when we talk about the Word is the Son, is Jesus Christ. But there's also the Word of God, literally, that you and I read. Many times when the Lord was talking, and he was giving, various teachings and stuff, like, for instance, when he was talking about, you have to eat my body and drink my blood, people were horrified, and he said, remember, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He was speaking of the Spirit. And of course, later on, when we talk about communion and we take the bread and the wine, you know, we see this as representative of his body and his blood. Now, of course, and the Word became flesh. Now another one is when you say Logos in Theos, the Word became God. Logos is the Word in Theos. Theos is God. And the Word here is Logos, became flesh, and became flesh. The Latin word for became flesh is a Latin verb, incarno. And from that, we get incarnation, to be made flesh, incarnation. And so incarno itself in the Latin means flesh. And the passive to be made flesh, incarnation, so that's where it adapted. Now, of course, the Catholic Church had a lot of, it was still running around at the time. It hasn't become as powerful, I think, as it would become. But you get 500 years into this, the Catholic Church had quite a lot of power, and they did a lot of their stuff in Latin. And you had a lot of the other churches, as we previously mentioned, and they used Latin. And so it's not surprising that when you get, like when I went to Bible school, we known it as the word incarnate. Well, the word incarnate, if you look for incarnate, you're not going to find it in the Bible. It's the same thing as Trinity. Trinity ain't in there. These are theological terms. The word was made flesh. That's really what happened. The word logos, the word. And in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we say the Word, Logos, became flesh, Logos, the Word is God. He was with God in the beginning. So you have, in the beginning, in John 1, you say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's the Father. And the Word was God. That's the Son. And so when we read this, the Word became flesh, we read it as the Son. And so it's one of those things that, now the Greek word for incarnation, I don't even know if I can say it or not, sarkothento, meaning made flesh. So if you want to put it in a new way, the Word of God is the enfleshment of the Word. And this is theological terms, and it means the totality of your human nature. But it also, when we talk about being made flesh, it encompasses his mission as well. Because he came and became flesh, not just because he could do it, because there was a reason he was to do it. Because God had determined that the blood would be used as an atonement. They had decided before the foundation of the world that the Son of God would come and that he would die on the cross and he would shed his blood. And because he was sinless, he took on the nature, he took on our sins, nailed them to the cross. And so his atonement, his blood, became the atonement for our sins. And that's in the righteousness of God and in the legal sense of heavenly justice and God's justice, there had to be that atonement, that at-one-ment. And so that's what Christ, that's what he was to do. And so today, you know, many Protestants, I don't think they appreciate fully what all went into this. And when you take away the feasts, when you take away the Hebrew side of this, then you miss the truth of the real deep understanding of the atonement, because Christ fulfilled the Day of Atonement. He was the Passover Lamb. And when you go through the feasts, even when we get down to the Day of Pentecost, you know, all these were agrarian festivals and various things, but they had other meanings to them. And so there was a latter rain, as Joel pointed out, and the coming of the Holy Spirit with cloven tongues of fire, which means when you talk about fire, it's a refinement, it's a purification. And so the Holy Spirit came and entered into man to give him power, and it was also a refinement. It was that fire to get the sin out, to get more of the divine nature into humans and enable you to live above what you'd ever lived before. And this was never done in the Old Testament. They had the Spirit of God, which would come and go. It would empowered Samson. They would come and go, but not on a permanent basis. And Now, when Christ came, being the Son of God, he was in the fullness of the Godhead bodily, so everything rested on him all the time. And, of course, when we get down it, let me see. So the Word, when we say flesh, was made man. Now, Albert Barnes, that's what he says. He's a theologian. The Word was made man. This is commonly expressed by the saying that he became incarnate. Barnes goes on to say that when we say that a being becomes incarnate, we mean that one of the higher order than man, and of a different nature, assumes the appearance of man, becomes a man. Here it is meant that the Word, or the second person of the Trinity, whom John had just proved to be equal with God, and that's what I was telling you in John 1, became a man, was reunited with the man Jesus of Nazareth, so it might be said that he was made flesh. That's Albert Barnes. Now, you see, the thing about this, these are words, and they're words in the Bible, and unless you can combine them with faith and believe, it isn't going to do you any good. See, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is. And so as we seek him, on a continual basis, he gives you divine favor. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, it says. But it takes faith. It takes belief. You have to believe upon the Son of God that what he did on the cross was for you. Now, you see, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. And see, that's the same process that we have when we believe on the Son of God. It's imputed unto us for righteousness' sake. It's belief. And it's belief, and it's also a legal, righteous move on God to provide an atonement for man to make up for the fall and the sin that's there. Now, another thing they say about Christ in this, not just incarnate, but they say he tabernacled among us, which is more of a Jewish term. And, of course, the tabernacle was where the Jews met God. And even when you get into the temple under Solomon, when they dedicated the temple, the Shekinah glory of God was so great they couldn't even minister. And, you know, we saw even in Moses' case, when he was with the Lord, the Shekinah glory made his face glow, and it frightened the children of Israel. So there's this glory. And when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, of course, there was a curtain. And so when he made atonement for the children of Israel, there was a place in the mercy seat, and the Lord and his glory would appear right on top of the mercy seat. And that's where he was able to meet. And he was able to bless Israel, work with Israel, and give the words to the priest that was doing the ministering at the time. But see, at Sinai, they got the law. So they got the law, but the law wasn't the part that saved them. It was never meant to save them. The law laid out a bunch of stuff, and there was a lot of stuff, you know, when we talk about food. Yeah. But in order to find an atonement, even in the Old Testament, you had to have the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And life is in the blood. And God had always intended for the blood to be that atonement. And even in the Old Testament, we have that. Now, you see, we have Jesus coming And he's the Son of God. And the Word made flesh, the enfleshment of the Son of God, he's divine. He tabernacled among us, but see, you didn't see his glory. But Peter, James, and John saw his glory up on the mount. They saw his glory, and it shined and glowed. We call that the transfiguration. And so for a short moment, he had three witnesses. Now see, the law comes in here to play again, because it said, let everything be done with two or three witnesses. And actually, you had the Father, the Holy Spirit, and you had Jesus are witnesses. You had the angels that are witnesses, but you had Peter, James, and John, who were witnesses to the transfiguration. And so every day that he walked on this earth, even when they put him on the cross, I mean, if he would have shone with the Shekinah glory, you know, it would have scared him to death. I mean, he could have literally done a lot of stuff, but it was veiled, just like being in the Holy of Holies. See, the glory of God and even the mercy was behind that curtain. When Christ died on the cross, the curtain to that Holy of Holies was ripped in two. And, of course, that provided a way for the believers who came afterwards, who would believe on the Lord, that they could enter boldly into the throne of grace because of what Christ has done. And that's why, again, I believe that Christians today take this fact as just a minor point that you can pray, a minor point that you can enter into the presence of God, a minor point that you can actually know the power of God in your body, that you can actually hear the Lord. He says that my sheep hear my voice. The problem is many times we are so busy, there's no room, there's nothing to hear. God is speaking, but we're not hearing because we gave up listening. And so all of these things are very important when we talk about a no greater love. Because we don't know love as we should know love. We've got a lot of people that say they love. I talked to a relative many years ago, a number of years ago, and it was a young girl. In her 20s. And she had problems. But to her, the love of God was having sex with a man. And the more you tried to talk to her, the more it didn't do any good. Because she was convinced that that's the kind of love God meant for her to share, and that's what she did. So, there was repercussions. But see, this is the difference that we need to understand. There's the phileo, and there's the agape. There is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, and then there's a love in our bodies called lust. And it's also another love, which is a like, a strong like, and it comes out of your being, it's part of your nature. And you can love with the flesh, but to know true love, deep love, as in the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts, that only comes through Christ. Only comes through him. So when we say logos in theos, John 1:1, the Word was God. Logos in theos, the Word was God. One of my favorite scriptures is John 1:1. So when you talk about a lot of scriptures that are associated with incarnation, or actually, you're not going to find it in the Bible. You're not going to find incarnation, but you're going to find being made flesh. So in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I think the amazing part of that is that he dwelt among us. He was made flesh, that's the first part, and he dwelt among us. Now, you see, this is John speaking. See, this is why it's so important when we're talking about an apostle. We have apostles today, but the apostles that the Lord chose, Peter, James, and John, the Word was made flesh. John knew who he was because Christ had revealed himself. And he says, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, they beheld his glory. It's kind of hard to understand what kind of glory it is. See, because we have believed, many of us Gentiles, since he came and ascended to the Father. And so, you figure us in the last days, we never beheld his glory. We believe from the testimony of the apostles. We believe from the Word of God. But more importantly, when the Word of God is preached, it's supernatural and the words are spirit and they are life. And they're backed up by the Spirit of God, which convicts and convinces men. So there is a supernatural event that happens and you become born again. See, now that's a supernatural event and it allows you to live for God. See, it's not just going to a church and getting dunked in a tank and becoming a member. That's not being born again to the Spirit. This is an active move, an active supernatural experience. See, and it's not by the will of men, and that's what the Scripture says. But it's by the power of God. And see, that's why it's important when we talk about no greater love, that in order to have a greater love, and in order to have the Son of God, he had to fulfill everything that God required of him. And I like Galatians 4:4, because it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In other words, he had to adhere to all the things of the law. And again, the fullness of time is God's timing. And when he did come, the Romans were in charge. And now that's a big part of this. The Romans had conquered Greece, and the Greek language was predominant around a lot of the empire because Rome was so powerful. They had roads and armies everywhere, so were there a better ease of travel. The Jews were set up in Jerusalem at a time, and they were able to have a temple, and so he could come and he could minister even under the auspices of the Romans. So there's a lot of things when we talk about the fullness of time. The physical time, the situation politically, militarily, and every other way was to the point that when he did come, this was the perfect time to come. And then, of course, we see that with Pentecost, because by this time, you see, because we get past Antiochus, we get past the time of the wars of the Jews, and we get into a time when now they're occupied, but they are in Jerusalem, they're in the land where they should be. They don't have all the land. They're not in charge, but they still have their system. They still have their temple. They still have their priests, and everything is still going. And so when the Lord came, he could actually fulfill many of the things under the law because they were doing that. Going to the temple at the proper time, getting everything done. And he followed all of that stuff. And a lot of times he was in the temple preaching, in the outer court talking. And so it's very important to understand that when we're talking about God, even the prophecies we've been talking about, and the coming of judgments, it's all in the fullness of time. God's timing, not your timing, God's timing. And so it's very, very big deal when we talk about Galatians 4:4, because this, the world at this time was at a point to where the Roman Empire was able to keep pretty much peace in the world. Yeah, they had wars, but they had a lot of areas of peace. They had roads. They had a way to get around. They had civilized nature going, you know, civilized towns. They had buying and selling. They had a lot of the stuff that the Lord could go and move freely among this. And of course, and it was the Romans that ended up putting him on the cross. But, you know, the thing of it is, the Jews were there, and you know the whole story of that. We go through that during Passover. We go into an intimate thing of the crucifixion and everything. But anyway, let's get to Romans 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. See, he was made in the likeness of man. He took upon him the form of a servant. He didn't think it robbery. Philippians 2, 6 and 7. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Now see, these are important scriptures. Because the one thing that humankind faced is sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The law. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the penalty for that is death. And so God had determined, and this is what we call the love of the truth. And this is the precise thing in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the world's going to reject in these end of days. And they're going to be sin of delusion. But let nobody fool you. Let nobody change your mind. Do not leave this gospel. Do not leave the Christian faith. There is going to be a lot of attacks. There is going to be a lot of fodder out there. There is going to be leaders in the Christian faith that are going to forsake. Many of them already have. I mean, when I say many, that's a relative number. But there have been, since I've been a believer, a number of major people that were in the public's eye that taught things that was heresy. Or said things that were heresy. Now, you need to get into the Word of God. And see, the no greater love here is all this effort to put it together. See, you were hopeless. You know, you had no hope. No way. No way to get to God. No way to know what true love is. No way to fight the lusts of the flesh. No way to be delivered from the power of sin. Today you do. And if you're a Christian today, you need to be thankful. You need to glorify God. You need to lift up your God and Father. You need to worship Him and worship the Son of God. You need to seek the Father in the name of the Son. You need to get in there, folks. You need to get that tunnel vision and look to Him. Because the test is just that. God knows where your heart is. Hebrews 2:14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, you see, a lot of times we make a lot out of the devil. And the devil does walk around as a roaring lion. But you know who when we talk about carrion, or when we talk about, you know, those like eagles or lions or anything else, you know, they're not going to attack unless there's a whole bunch of them. You know, something that's real strong. They like weak. Now, although a big lion will take down a big ox or something, a water buffalo, but he destroyed the devil. Now, the devil is still there, but he destroyed the power of death. Now, see, he's going to finally destroy death and hell. It's already, by faith, it's already been destroyed. It doesn't have power over us. The second death don't hurt us if we believe in Yeshua, if we've received him. And the power of the flesh, we can have power over that. And when we look at the fruits, which we're doing on Thursday night, called War of the Worlds, Spiritual Fruits. See, we wouldn't have any of those benefits without Christ. See, the devil met his match. More than so. But there is going to be a time of darkness on this planet. And it's going to come. It's going to come as judgment. Because they rejected the love of the truth. The only time Israel faced judgment, folks, the only time Nineveh was destroyed, is when they were sinning. When they rejected God. When they tried to serve God and other gods. Now see, a nation can have many gods. But a Christian has to have one. Our true and living God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, that's where we're at. Now see, I want to go in here to the testimony of John. John 1:11 through 17. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, trust in, rely on, and cling to, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now did you get that? They were born not of blood. In other words, they weren't. See, the birth that he's talking about is being born of God, born of the Spirit. And God is a spirit, so you're born of the Spirit. And it's not by the will of the flesh. I mean, you just purpose yourself stubbornly. Or someone else decides and says, that, well, this is how you do it. Or you follow a will of man because they may not like the way you do it, so they make up their own rules. That's what we do today. Make no mistake about it. The testimony of John is, he came to his own received him not, but whoever received him, he gave him the power to become the sons of God, even if you believed on him. And that word in the Greek, trust in, rely on, and cling to, which were born, not by man, not by man's will, not by his purposes, not by his ideas. It was born totally of God. See, now that's the difference. That's why we are not like Muslims. We are not like other Christians who aren't born again. They call themselves Christians, but they've never been born again. Other faiths. And then you get into those that have no faith at all, but even their non-faith still becomes a faith. See, when an agnostic or an atheist tells you that they don't believe in God and they have no faith, they do have faith. Their faith is the fact that they don't have faith, that they put faith in something that isn't faith and believe in that non-faith, that in the end, when they get to the other side, everything's going to be fine. That's faith, folks. But it's not going to get you anywhere. It has to be faith in the Son of God. And that's why in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. John 14:6. He had in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So then John, verse 15, bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. And see, that law defined for the children of Israel what they were to do. But at no time was that law going to be something that would save you. See, you needed the system of atonement. It is the blood that makes atonement for sin. And see, animals, and it's explained in Hebrew, they had to shed their blood all the time. Animals, year after year, they were always having these sacrifices for sin and for various trespasses and things and offerings. But it was the blood. The blood. The law was a mere instruction. And so they would walk in that. Now today, Christ has fulfilled the law. And one of the biggest laws is called the law of faith. Because without faith, you're not going to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's basically the law of faith. Paul talks about the law of faith. Christians go around proudly. Well, I wasn't saved by law. Yes, you was. Everything about your salvation is of the law. Your atonement, the shedding of blood, is all found in the law, and Jesus fulfilled every bit of it. Every bit of it. And so when we talk about grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, a lot more came than just grace and truth. But in the section here that John is talking about, he's trying to tell you the difference that now we just don't have a law given on Sinai. See, the only God that they could see was Moses saw the Lord on top of Sinai. Then all the children of God, they also saw him on Sinai. And the mount was shaking and it was full of fire and vapor and smoke. And they were greatly afeared. See, that's their view of God. And they told Moses, you know, don't have him talk to us directly. Have him tell you and you can tell us. See, because they were so frightened. Even Moses talked about how it was. But see, in the new now, Christ says, I haven't come to destroy the law, but fulfill it. The law hasn't been destroyed. It didn't go anywhere. It's still there. And it operates all the time. Right now, today, the law is still in effect. Most Christians don't even know that. Why is it? Because of your atonement. That came out of the law. And it's because of that law and the fact that God fulfilled that through Christ, that you can now look as the law It schooled, as Paul says, and to bring us to Him. But even at that, when we talk about law, when we talk about commandments, when we talk about obedience and how we should walk, the apostles spend a lot of time telling us how we should walk. Don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. John 15, the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So now another phrase, another place I like John chapter 1 and 1 John 1. And 1 John chapter 1 is really a good chapter for you. But verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled of the word of life. I love that. He was from the beginning. Now, he's not just talking about the beginning, you know, of the ministry. He's talking about from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. This word beginning goes back and corresponds with John chapter 1. So in the beginning, John chapter 1, and from the beginning, 1 John 1, which we have heard. They heard him. We've seen with our eyes. He literally saw him with his own eyes. You never seen him. Now, see, there are people that say the Lord appeared to me. That's fine and dandy. But for the majority of Christians, no, they didn't. Which we have looked upon. They did look upon him. They was with him. They ate with him. They slept in the same camp together. And when he was on the cross, they looked upon him on the cross. And when it was time to take him down off the cross, he says, our hands have handled. So they not only saw him as the Word, John not only saw him, you know, as the Lamb of God, he not only seen him glorified with Peter and James. Peter, James, and John were up there and saw it. But they saw him on the cross, and when he finally gave up the ghost, and they took him down off the cross, and they had to take him into the tomb. They handled him. They looked upon him. They saw him. They heard him. Now you see, that tells us that's a testimony and an eyewitness. Now, you see, I wasn't there when he was on the cross. I wasn't there when they took him down off the cross. I wasn't there when they put him in the tomb, and I wasn't there when he was resurrected and when he appeared to Mary. I didn't see him glorified with Peter, James, and John, but I've got their testimony. But more importantly than that, when the Lord stopped me outside that road in Rollins, out there on the plains, his voice, his spirit, and his being filled the cab of my truck. And I got down. And I stopped my truck, first of all, got down, got outside my truck. And there in the side of the road, I met the Son of God. And I can tell you that that changed my life. Now, I had been in the church. I was raised a Methodist. But God had to get me out of the Methodist church in order to get me saved. Later on, after I graduated from Bible school, went back to my Methodist church, and I talked to the head reverend there, told him that I was born again and I came to know the Lord. And he didn't even know what I was talking about. He says, how do you know that? So I told him. But he is leading a whole church, preaching every Sunday and all the rest, and he didn't even know what being born again was. He didn't understand the experience. Now that's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. There's a difference between religious Christianity and being truly born again, on top of it, knowing him, hearing his voice, living a... Now, you know, even if you're persecuted, you you can be a winner. John says in verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. Now see, it was with the Father and the Son in the beginning. Christ fulfilled all that, and John finally said it was manifested unto us. We saw the Son of God. We saw him. We understood what he was doing. We received him. We walked with him. We handled his body when he took him down off the cross. We saw him when he was glorified. We watched him ascend into heaven. We were there when the Holy Spirit came. We were there when Peter preached and 3,000 got saved. And it was John who they tried to boil in oil and they couldn't kill him. He wouldn't die. God had a purpose for him. See, now that is who we're talking about. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Now see, that's where we come in. You and I have heard the word, and the word is what I'm preaching right now. That word that I speak is spiritual. And the words I speak are spiritual, and they're going out over the phone lines, the internet connection to the ends of the earth. And we've had people these last 20 years from virtually every nation on earth visit our websites at one time or another. But we send the word out. But see, John says, that which we've seen and heard, we declared it unto you. We declare it unto you. We're telling you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now you see, he's writing to his children. But see, it's no different today. John is in heaven. But his words are alive, being used by the Spirit of God and is anointed by God because God had given him the words to speak. And it's no different. We do have fellowship with the apostles because we read it. We have fellowship with the Old Testament saints as well and the Old Testament prophets. I have fellowship with Abraham and Moses and Jacob and David. I read the prophecies. These prophecies speak to me. I read the Word of God. I get into the Psalms that speaks to me. I have fellowship with them. I've never seen them, but I've had fellowship with them because the Word is spirit and it is life. And that is what we speak. That is what we preach. And so our fellowship is with a vast amount of people who have believed like us. There is a body that the devil couldn't even imagine. There is a body out there that we belong to that the world has no idea. The world is wicked. The world hates the Lord. The world hates everything about him. The world is in unbelief. And today in America, we're going our own way, thinking we're going to make it on our own. Well, you just look, since we've taken prayer out of the school, and since we've been aborting babies and doing whatever we want to, teaching our kids to be immoral, saying that same-sex marriage is okay and all this other stuff, while many of the preachers got rich and didn't stand up, we haven't shed one ounce of blood, really, on a whole-scale basis in this nation to stop sin in this nation. We have gone along with the sin. We have allowed it to grow, and now it's not going to stop. And you wonder, well, could this be true? Could judgment come? My friends, judgment is inevitable. But see, there's a little thing about no greater love we're talking about tonight. And you and I, no matter what the enemy throws at us in these end of days, God is able to keep us. It's not going to be easy. There's not going to be one thing that's going to be easy. In the flesh, we're never going to make it. In the flesh, there's no hope. It's only in the Lord, in our obedience to Him. But if we keep our faith, if we choose to open the door tomorrow with faith and not fear, resting our hope in Him, then it doesn't matter. Live or die, we are the Lord's. The enemy can't touch us. Our foundation is in the Lord. It is sealed by the blood of Christ. And God has given us of His Spirit as well to seal us. Nobody can take us out of the Lord's hand, and nobody can take us out of the Father's hand. And we are here. The world is wicked. Darkness is coming, and the devil is shouting aloud to everybody here, I'm going to take off, I'm going to kill everybody, I'm going to do this, it's going to be wicked, and I'm going to have my way. Yeah, baloney. You know, and that's one thing I hear from ISIS and all these Muslim terrorists and everything else, they're always shooting their mouth off. I don't live by fear, fella. I don't glorify fear. I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. That day when I stand before Him in this body, in this flesh, because I plan on being here. I'm going to see Him come again. And I know that He will make a way. This is the same God that was there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, Zechariah, Paul the Apostle, James, John, the early church. He is with my pastor. And He's with us. He's with my family. And I know many of you out there, you know Him. That's who we believe in. Don't let none of these mamby-pamby preachers and these others try to get you full of fear. We don't walk by fear, we walk by faith. The same God that took care of Israel for 40 years is the same God that delivered us, and He's established an institution, and we are that institution. For we are all one in Christ. There's not Jew, Gentile, male, or female, but all one. We are of this body and of Christ. And see, that's really where we're at tonight. The devil loves fear. And so do his minions. And when they attack, they're cowards. They will always attack, almost always, when you're weak. Absolutely. Now, they can attack when you're strong, but that don't do no good. No. When people have depressing thoughts and stuff like that, that's when they're going to come. When you have a financial crisis, that's when they're going to come. When you have doubts, when you have enemies, whatever it is, that's where he shows up. And when you're going through those things and you recognize and you begin to hear those voices, you get and you rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. You say, I rebuke thee, thou foul spirit. I rebuke that thought. I rebuke the spirit behind it. And I rebuke the flesh. And I cast you, foul spirit, into outer darkness. And I bind you. And I bind that thought in Jesus' name. Don't allow these things to fill you full of fear and fodder. Don't spend your time watching those stupid videos. Now, yeah, you get to see Christians get their heads cut off and all the rest of it. The intention is fear. It glorifies them. Don't glorify the terrorists. Don't look at that stuff. You don't need to. You don't need to watch endless videos. You don't need to be entertained on Instagram all the time. You don't need to be online all the time. You need to be in the Word. You need to look to the Lord. Stop filling your mind with everything but the Word of God. Get in faith. Get in the Word of God. And get in Christ. Because that's where you're going to need to be. Absolutely. But remember, you have the power. And you can just shrug it off and say, well, okay, I've never tried it. I just won't do it. Well, you just go ahead and suffer then. But I'm telling you, you know, if you're short of stuff, you get the Word of God out, you find your promise, you pray that, you call it in, you bind the enemy, and you believe God to make a way for you. Because one of these days, there may not be food, may not be water, and may be roving bands around you, and you're going to need to fast and pray and believe God to deliver you out of that. And that is why we pray a prayer in Luke 21, 34 through 37. Watch and pray always, the Lord says, that you will be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so you pray that for you and your family. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, according to thy word, which says, watch and pray that you would be counted worthy. Watch and pray always that you'd be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Father, I pray, and that you list all the names, yourself, your family, I pray that we'd be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. There's another one. The Lord said, I pray thee, Father, that you would not take them out of the world, but that you would deliver them from the evil. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, these people that are listening to me, listening to the word which is your word, according to thy word, Father, I pray thee that you would not take us out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. Keep each and every one of them from the evil, meaning the devil and his power. Keep them, their families. O Lord God, in Jesus' name. Now, folks, you believe. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. Lord, bless those that hear this word whenever they hear it. Encourage them, strengthen them, give them wisdom and understanding. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back. That was a good word, Dana. I like it. I love it. It's encouraging. And thank God we have a hope. And we can have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the past. You know, the apostles. I'd never thought about that before. That's pretty exciting when you think about it that way.
It is. You know, well, you got to believe that the word is real.
You do.
And you got to believe that the people in the word are real. If you just think that they're fairy tales, it ain't going to do you any good.
Nope, not one bit.
I believe that it is what it says it is. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, and we ain't going to go there. I made up my mind, folks, a long time ago. Literally.
Yep.
And it ain't going to be easy.
Looks like we're going to have to go.
Yeah, we do. We're going to have to go.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We appreciate you and all you do for the kingdom.
We thank you for joining
everybody
today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.